Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran and the P5 plus one group of countries have been involved in talks for years now over Iran's nuclear program. Tehran has continuously said that its nuclear program is for civilian purposes, from medical usages to generating electricity. And the other side claims that Iran wants nuclear weapons. Well, now D-Day is nearing, as the June 30th deadline for negotiations is rapidly approaching. Yes or no? Will a deal be reached between the two entities? Stay with us as we take a closer look at the situation.
Nuclear negotiations between Iran and the P5 plus one group of countries have entered a tough stage as an end of the June deadline for the sides to reach a deal draws closer. The P5 plus one, involving the US, the UK, Russia, France, China plus Germany, and Iranian diplomats have shuttled between their countries and the venue of negotiations many times over the past few weeks to iron out the outlines of the deal. On Saturday, France added a twist to the already tough terms of negotiations by setting three conditions for a final agreement.
What we want is a robust deal that recognizes Iran's right to civil nuclear power, but guarantees that Iran gives up definitively the nuclear weapon. For this reason, there are three indispensable conditions: a lasting limitation of Iran's research and development capacity, a rigorous inspection of sites, including military if needed, and the third condition is the automatic return of sanctions in case it violates its commitments.
Some of the members of the P5 plus one seem to be hardening their stance with the deadline approaching.
No deal is better than a bad deal. There are red lines that we cannot cross, and some very difficult decisions, tough choices are going to have to be made by all of us.
Iran has its own red lines for any nuclear deal with the other side. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has reiterated that Tehran will not accept a 10-year restriction on its nuclear R&D activities, nor will it give in to the Western demands for inspection of its military sites.
اصرار دارن اونها بر محدودیت بلند مدت. ما گفتیم ما محدودیت 10 سال و 12 سال و اینها رو قبول نداریم. 10 سال یک عمره. با بازرسی‌های غیر متعارف هم بنده موافق نیستم، با پرسجو از شخصیت‌ها هم به هیچ وجه قبول ندارم و موافق نیستم. بازرسی از مراکز نظامی را هم نمیپذیریم، همچنان که قبلا هم گفتیم.
Ayatollah Khamenei also slammed the US for offering a quote complicated formula for lifting anti-Iran sanctions. Despite all the complications, nuclear talks continue. The European Union's foreign policy chief says the sides seek to translate the understanding reached in Lausanne into a finalized agreement. Federica Mogherini added the talks have been tough, but if the negotiators show strong political will, an agreement is definitely viable.
It's rather positive that if the strong political will is there from all the parties, we can get there.
Negotiators are working hard to write down the details of a final deal before Tuesday. Opponents of a deal with Iran in the West have been trying to portray a bleak image as to the outcome of the negotiations. But Iran and most members of the P5 plus one are not striking a pessimistic note. They have already said they will continue the talks beyond June 30th.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of San Francisco, investigative journalist Mr. Lee Kaplan. And out of Tehran, Professor, University of Tehran, Mr. Fuad Izzadi. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in San Francisco. And Mr. Kaplan, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius has said that there are three sticking points which need to be resolved. One of them is to limit Iran's research and development capacity. Is it that these countries really think Iran is seeking a bomb, or is it that a scientifically developed Iran frightens them?
Well, actually, I think if you take a look at the Iranian culture as opposed to the Western culture, you know, it's an interesting thing, Merzieh. In the United States, they just legalized gay marriage. But in Iran, you're still hanging homosexuals from cranes in the public streets. When the West sees this type of a regime talking about getting its hands on atomic bombs, and then also the mullahs have a messianic point of view of the end of the world with the 12th Imam, it's only natural that the Western powers in the United States are reluctant that Iran should have an atomic bomb.
Mr. Kaplan, and that Iran was not the Mr. Kaplan, let us not start off the program with misunderstanding. The question was about Iran's R&D program. Why is that a problem? No one talked about Iran developing a bomb. Why is research and development a problem for the West? Research, sir.
Because it can help Iran develop a bomb, and you're also developing your ICBM missile capabilities with which you can strike Europe and maybe even the United States eventually with such a bomb.
All right, Mr.
And
okay.
Again.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Azadi. Mr. Azadi, your take
you're going to interrupt me, or?
I thought you were finished, sir. Let me turn to Mr. Azadi. Mr. Azadi, your take on, in general, what Mr. Kaplan has just said, and why would the West be frightened? Again, I'm going to rephrase the same question. Why would they be frightened from Iran? As Mr. Kaplan says about the possibility, as he said, of Iran developing a bomb, but of course many sitting at that same table with Iran already have the bomb and actually have used a bomb.
Right, what you heard was Likud talking points. If you go to Zionist Organization of America or AIPAC or Israel Project, you know, Zionist organizations in U.S., you will find more propaganda coming out of Israel, and this was repeated here. The fact is that for an investigative journalist, should know, hopefully, that we had not too long ago James Clapper, who is DNI, Director of National Intelligence, testified before the U.S. Senate, U.S. Intelligence Committee, presenting a report. In that report, there's a quote about Iran's nuclear program, and the quote says, "We do not know if Iran will eventually decide to make a nuclear weapon," which means Iran does not have a nuclear weapon now. Iran does not have a nuclear weapon program, because if Iran had a nuclear weapon program, you would expect the head of U.S. intelligence community to say so. And the idea of Iran deciding to make a nuclear bomb, James Clapper says that we do not know if Iran will decide to do that or not. So I think we need to stay with facts. I think we need to realize what Netanyahu and his gang are doing in U.S. In U.S. Congress, people who are getting paid from characters like Sheldon Adelson, who is supporting Israeli line, posing as an American, I don't think he's really a patriotic American, trying to influence U.S. foreign policy, trying to break up this deal, are trying their best to use propaganda to basically provide misinformation, disinformation, lies, more or less, about what is going on, about what Iran is all about. And you heard some of that tonight. I think what we need to remember is that no one, including the U.S. government, claims that Iran has a nuclear weapon program.
Okay. And, all right. Let me turn back to San Francisco. Get Mr. Kaplan back in on this, Mr. Azadi. Now, Mr. Kaplan, another issue which has been brought up during talks with Iran is that Tehran should concede to even its military sites being inspected. Now, keeping in mind that when Iran in the past actually was asked to give a list of its nuclear scientists, several of them ended up being assassinated. Do you think that this is a logical request?
I think it's a logical request from the West. Now, let me just point something out here. The good professor just backed up what I said before. He started off this debate about Iran and the nuclear weapons attacking the Jews. The Jews are always the last resort to blame for things. And it's also the saber rattling to destroy Israel. Israel does not dictate to the United States its foreign policy. In fact, there's a lot of dissension among Americans in Israel about how things are being handled. The fact of the matter is Sheldon Adelson is a U.S. citizen. He doesn't dictate policy. Likud and AIPAC and these organizations, while they're pro-Israel organizations, of course, don't dictate American foreign policy either. And this is a cheap shot attacking the Jews, which is also part of the reason why we can't get a settlement here about Iran not having an atomic weapon, because you even have visible cartoons that you show on television of America and Israel being destroyed by atomic weapons. And this
okay,
is something
Mr. Kaplan,
shown on your
I'm
own
not
television.
Sure what you're talking about, but I want you to answer the question that I asked. I'm asking you about the logic of actually Iran opening up its military sites to entities, obviously, that could be considered adversaries. Why would they actually agree to such a request? Is it logical?
Of course it's logical, because if they don't inspect the military sites, you can develop the ICBM missiles, and you can also develop the nuclear bombs, and you can also attack the West and the Western countries.
So basically the whole country of Iran, sir, should be open up for the West to go wherever they want, whenever they want, and to do whatever they want?
Oh, well, let me ask you this. What does Iran have to hide from the West if all they're interested in is peace?
Would the United States open up its military sites to Iran or to Russia?
The United States is not a state sponsor of world terrorism like Iran. United States does not sponsor Hezbollah, does not sponsor Hamas. Please, focus in on one little point and try to make it sound like you're being persecuted. You're not being persecuted. The fact of the matter is that Iran is saber-rattling. Iran is developing ICBMs. You did a mock naval battle to show how you can destroy the Sixth Fleet. You're constantly threatening the West. And then you try to come back and say, well, Israel has an atomic bomb. The United States has an atomic bomb. Yes, they have atomic bombs, but they don't threaten people with them.
Mr. Azadi, they have atomic bombs, but they don't threaten anyone. Your take, sir.
Well, the U.S. is the only country in the world that has actually used and killed a lot of people with atomic bombs. In Japan, in Hiroshima, Nagasaki, tens of thousands.
And
of
they
people.
Save lives by doing that.
No. They
save lives on both sides by doing that.
They're attacking countries like Iraq and Afghanistan. They're occupying. They are killing children.
They don't
in
use
Palestine.
Atomic bombs in
people
Afghanistan.
People like Netanyahu,
or Iraq.
The people that you support are people who are children, killing children. It's a shame for someone to sit in San Francisco
that is more propaganda.
Like
the Israelis
Netanyahu.
Are not
that is
killing
not propaganda.
Children.
That is facts. Look at the UN report.
It is propaganda, sir.
What they said about what Netanyahu is doing in Palestine. Is war criminal. These
Please.
People are war criminals, and you are a war criminal if you support
listen,
people
the
like
Israeli,
Netanyahu.
The Israeli,
I encourage
Israelis,
people to
the
read
Israelis
the book,
evacuated.
The Israeli Lobby. That is a good book for people to read. You look at politicians in the U.S. that have
Meir
criticized
Shrimis
Israel.
Propaganda book.
And people like you have
book.
Tried to silence people that have criticized Israel. But guess what? You are in Tehran, and you cannot silence us.
How have I silenced?
And
that is
the main
how
problem that
anyone?
You have. You are afraid that people in the U.S. realize what Israel is doing in the U.S. And the problem that you have is that you cannot silence me in Tehran. And is why you are
thank you both of our guests, Mr. Izzadi and Mr. Kaplan. Stay with me, please. We're going to cross over to our Facebook and see what some of our viewers have posted about this subject.
Inspections of the military sites? Can Iran inspect France's? They have no understanding of sovereignty. If France sets these kinds of conditions, then the law should apply to Israelis, the US, Britain, and those having nuclear weapons to reach a final win-win situation. Iran has the right to peaceful nuclear enrichment. Iran is the only advanced Muslim country in the world, so we Muslims need to unite and protect this precious opportunity. May Allah keep blessing Iran. With Israeli influence roaming over the minds of negotiators, there's no possibility of a final nuclear agreement. Why did the French foreign minister go to Israel? I think he means he works for France. See the diplomacy by Saudi Arabia and Qatar? forcing France to make such crazy demands from Iran. Iran, keep resisting for your rights.
Well, Mr. Kaplan, you heard some of our comments. So what about the one that talks about why the French foreign minister went to Israel, that it's believed that he actually works for France? And we've seen that throughout the talks with Iran, whether it's American officials or French officials. We've seen them going back and forth to Tel Aviv in the middle of these talks with Iran. Why? What does Israel have to do with all of this?
Well, I believe Laurent Fabius would like to try and get Israel on board with some of the policies that the P+5 are trying to put together regarding the bomb negotiations. The fact is, the French aren't such good friends to Israel. They just funded this latest Gaza flotilla boat to try and help Hamas in Gaza.
Well, what does it mean to get them on board? Why is it important for them then to get Tel Aviv on board? If these six countries, let's say they make a deal with Iran and they sign off, why is it so important for them that Tel Aviv is on board?
Well, the fact of the matter is that Tel Aviv is the number one first target of Iran if they get nuclear weapons. And again, you say you haven't seen it. I've seen animated cartoons that you broadcast there in Iran of an attack on Israel where you wipe out Israel and you kill all the Jews. So certainly Netanyahu has something to fear. And the French, if they want to try and get cooperation from Israel, may try to go in and talk them into cooperating. But it's perfectly understandable. You know, you sponsor Hamas, which is also at war, and its charter advocates wiping out all the Jews in the world, not just all the Jews in Israel, and you also sponsor Hezbollah. So, you know, you rely on the ignorance of the average viewer who doesn't know this is going on, but that's my job, is actually to inform people about this.
Okay.
And this pseudo-academic you have on the other side, let me just finish. This pseudo-academic you have on the other side who simply blames it all on the Jews, is proof right there.
I did not use the word Jew Germany was in my talk at all.
No, you used the word Zionist.
Real,
it's a euphemism.
If you're a real journalist,
it's a euphemism
you should be able
for Jew.
To listen properly. I think you have difficulty with listening. You may
as a real,
need
as a real
listening
journal,
aid.
As a real journalist.
You can go
journalist,
back and look at this tape. I did not
I
use the word
through,
Jew. You
I
started the word
euphemism.
Jew. You repeated
you
that
used,
word. This is a common practice
yeah,
that Zionists
yeah.
like you have.
You mean Jews.
You hide
when
behind
you
the Jewish
Zionist,
religion and
when you say
commit
Zionist,
war criminals.
You, mean Jews.
You are a war criminal.
You're not
you need
fooling
to
anybody.
Correct that process. You need to realize
I'm a war
that
criminal now?
That is
oh, okay.
not going
I'm a,
to
I'm a war criminal.
Help you. I think sooner or later you will have Netanyahu and people
okay,
like
Mr. Izzadeh, let me just jump in here because we're limited
have,
with time. Mr. Izzadeh,
yes.
Isn't it ironic that some of those sitting at the negotiating table represent countries, as I said earlier, which actually have nuclear weapons, and in the case of the United States was actually used WMDs against others, and that they are demanding restrictions on Iran's nuclear program? And Iran has been a country which has not invaded another country in over 200 years.
Right. You know, the situation that we have is that war criminals and people that are killing children on a daily basis, that includes President Obama and John Kerry and the whole U.S. foreign policy, are on the side of human rights and protection of minorities. And countries like Iran that are defending themselves are supposed to be supporters of terrorism. And Iran's fault is that Iran is supporting Hezbollah. And Hezbollah's fault is that they are not listening to Israel and they're not allowing Israel to occupy Lebanon. So the whole situation in the minds of people like your other guests
Israel
are
isn't occupying Lebanon.
Totally,
Israel isn't
totally
even in Lebanon.
Wrong. They are presenting lies as facts and they are misusing their position and they're putting titles like journalists. And what they are really doing is that they're probably getting paid from the Israeli embassy in Washington
okay.
to propagate
well, let
Israeli
me just
lines.
Jump in here. Let me get Mr. Kaplan yeah. in on this. Mr. Kaplan, do you think a final deal will be signed between the two sides?
I hope not. At least not the way it is. Not if it gives Iran the chance to develop a nuclear bomb. Do I think a final deal will be signed? I don't know. You're dealing with bureaucrats in the United States and in the other countries there. Some of them might be more interested in having the deal than having the reality of what's behind it. I can't say for that. In my opinion, though, no. not if the capability is there. You have to open up inspections, including military installations, and you have to show that you're not working. And when he talks about human rights, I explained at the beginning of the show that you hang homosexuals
Mr. Kaplan, I'm so sorry. I only have a minute left. I got to get Mr. Ezzadi in here. Mr. Ezzadi, can a deal be reached that, as it's been said, that can be a win-win situation for both? We'll talk about the United States and Iran.
Yeah, I think a deal can be reached. The only thing is that if Iran is giving a lot of concessions on its nuclear program, if Iran is more or less closing its nuclear program, the other side needs to lift sanctions. And the ball is in the court. We need to wait and see whether they're willing to lift sanctions. It would be foolish for Iran to open up its military sites when the other side is threatening to attack Iran militarily. No country would do that. No Iranian leader would do that. People are not fools here. We are not going to fall for the same lines that the U.S. government has used before. Iranian military sites have been inspected previously, and the other side found nothing. So repeating that process is not going to be helpful for us, and no one is going to do that.
All right, and thank you both for being with us. We're out of time. I appreciate Mr. Lee Kaplan out of San Francisco, investigative journalist, for being with us. Also out of Tehran, professor at University of Tehran, Mr. Fuad Ezzadi. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.